Welcome to the podcast ministry of Pilgrim Baptist Church. Wherever you're listening from, welcome. We pray that the truth from the Word of God speaks to your heart during today's message.
First Timothy 5, the last two verses, the Bible says in verse 24, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also, the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. You know, the Bible never attempts to prove, number one, the existence of life, and or it never attempts to prove the coming judgment. The Bible clearly states those two things as fact. It is a proclaimed truth from God that judgment is a real thing. And we sometimes forget, especially young people, we sometimes forget that life here on earth is going to come to an end. And when it does, you're going to be in one of two places. You're going to be in eternity. It's either going to be with the Lord or not with the Lord. And I say that because we cannot assume that external happiness is a sign that somebody is godly. Now, sometimes it is based on someone's countenance, but externals can be very deceitful. We also cannot assume that external misery is a sign that someone is not obeying God. Does that make sense? We live in America. You probably are never going to have to run for your life for the sake of the gospel. Now, I'm thankful for that. Are you? That can't be said of all Christians. It'd be a miserable thing to have to run for your life. But I can tell you, a Christian that's running for their life for the sake of the gospel, that external misery is no, it is not a signal that they are not right with God. Quite the opposite. Okay? And in 1 Timothy 5, we are going to look at the difficulty of man's sin and man's good works. So before we wrap this chapter up with these two verses, when we looked at verse number 23, let's read it so we can get a review. It says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sakes and thine oft infirmities. And it's like the Holy Spirit kind of impressed upon Paul to pen that verse down, to break up. I mean, you think about the ministry, the anxiety of it, the stress of it, the work of it, all of it that Paul's trying to teach Timothy about. A lot of labor, Timothy and Paul, a lot of care they're putting into the ministry. And he's talking about, okay, look, before you put somebody in leadership with the ministry, he gives them some instruction on that. And it's like this verse 23 says, hey, by the way, it's going to take a toll on your health, Timothy. And by the time the apostles are dying off, they can't heal physical infirmities anymore. And he's saying, look, this thing's going to wear you out. And the best you got in verse 23 is take a little wine and tough it out, man, because it's going to be rough. And then he closes it out with this idea of, wow, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men, they follow after. Now, when you hear that, some men's sins are open beforehand, that's easy to understand. That's the guy, or that's the girl that gets caught. And so you think, man, everybody that we see that gets caught, those are the criminals. But Paul, under the Holy Spirit's inspiration, is trying to instruct Timothy, and then therefore we're getting the instruction. That isn't the case always. Just because we can identify sin because some men's sins are just open, that doesn't mean we can always identify who the criminal sinners are. It's quite the opposite, and that's why we have these verses. You know, you meet people, you've met them, and you know their struggle with sin is apparent. It's open. Everybody knows about it. And then you know people where on the outside, the externals, you thought it looked good. But then you found out, oh, it wasn't. Well, what's that about? They were just better at not getting caught. And what Paul is teaching Timothy is, look, what you see isn't always what you see. Yeah, some men's are open and you can see it. But what one do you feel worse about? The guy that wears his sin on his shirt sleeve and it's just open? Or the guy that was making himself, or the gal that was making herself look like something but was hiding and concealing? I feel better about the guy who I know, don't you? And so Paul is warning Timothy, and God's warning us, to pay attention to this principle. Now that I said all that, you and I can't use that knowledge, that Bible truth is what it is, to not trust anybody in the world. That God isn't telling us to do that either. He's simply saying, look, here's how it is. Okay? Don't be deceived by it. Don't get upset about it. Just know that this is what it is. And every time somebody, you know, in your life that conceals something and then it comes out, oh, wow, I didn't know they were like that. You're disappointed. When it happens to me, I'm disappointed. We're sad about it. We're like, what's going on? And God says, well, if you would have read this, you would have known. Now, sometimes that don't help me any. Because I wish it weren't so. Right? I wish it wasn't so. But God says, look, that's the way it is. Which is why, let's back up another verse. Look at verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Why? Well, because of verse 24 and 25. You can tie 24 and 25. You can bring it right back. Be careful of laying hands on somebody. Be careful of ordaining someone into the ministry. Let time play out. And you want to determine a man's character before you are going to put your hand on him and give your blessing on that man, that ministry, that anything. Okay. Verse 24, some man's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men, they follow after. I like it when there's no doubt in my mind about somebody's character. I like that. How about you? I don't like if my son or if my daughter has a friend, if I don't know something about the person, I don't like that feeling. I want to know what their character is. And when folks come into our fellowship, they have a testimony of salvation. Great. They're saved. They're on their way to heaven. Praise the Lord. They're part of the body of Christ. But wait, there's more to the Bible after you get saved than just you give your testimony and all's dandy. It is going to be an eternity, but in the meantime, we need to take heed to these verses. There has to be some proving of character. Okay? Well, why can't I lead such and such? Well, because you haven't been here long enough faithfully for us to really get to know who you are. And that's fair. That's fair. Preacher comes to a new town, you know what they're going to do? the people are going to test the preacher, and that's fair. A missionary goes to a new island, guess what the people are going to do? They're going to test that preacher. And that's right. That's right. Going before to judgment. Some people don't have to wait that long because we can judge them down here and we can make the determination, hey, stay away from that. And some men they follow after. Okay. So, should we judge people? We should. And sometimes when we judge people down here, it's better to be judged by down here than to be judged by God. Okay? So when you preach the gospel, someone says, hey, you're judging me. Well, that's good. Better to be judged down here with men than to go to God and be judged and be cast into hell. Okay? But look, some men you can judge down here. The verdict is clear. You get it. You know who they are. But others are going to get away with it down here. And there's nothing we can do about it. They're going to pass right by the judgment of men. They're going to deceive everybody. But who aren't they going to deceive? God. So what God is saying is, there is going to be judgment. And just because you and I might have been duped by somebody, what God is saying is he is faithful. And just because man didn't get it and man wasn't able to judge their character and get a good read on them, God says, look, I will. Some, what does it say? Will follow after. Some going before to judgment, some follow after. It's just the way that it is. God's promising that nobody is going to be exempt from punishment. They say that parents that have one child really aren't parents until they have two, because you know, one, it's, you know, they can't. The parents don't have to deal with, well, you know, brother blaming sister and sister blaming brother and all that. They don't get to enjoy that part of parenting. No, he did it. No, she did it. No, right? Well, you know, if you have two children and they might gang up on mom and dad and play the field and be able to get away with their sin or their naughtiness. And they can deceive mom and dad. You know, kids do that, right? I don't think I was the only kid with my brothers that tried to do that. I mean, kids are—they're just mean monsters, is what they can be. Sometimes, right? They really can be. I said, man, I had no idea. You weren't able to judge it, and they didn't get punishment. Well, the biggest charge they bring against you is, well, that's not fair. They saw that they got judged, and now you're dealing with the other child, and they're not getting the same judgment. God's not like that. He is not like that. Amen. And we got three things I jotted down concerning our society. On one hand, we have a society that will condemn a criminal and they'll lock them up and praise the Lord. But our society, too, they will also tolerate some of the vilest sins. Deception, lying, stealing. I mean, the government does this. The ones that are making the rules to govern us. I like it when the criminals go to jail, right? I don't like it when the criminals should be going to jail and they're not. It's like the society does both. And then our society does this. We lose sight of the fact that someone that's in jail may need to be pardoned. They may have been accused wrongly. There's a lot of that that goes on, not with God. He is righteous, and he will bring judgment. So you can mark that down. Go to Romans 2. And verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? And you're not going to escape the judgment of God. Some men follow after. It didn't happen down here on earth. It'll follow after. It'll come later. And you may leave behind a good reputation down here, and you might dupe everybody, but you're not going to dupe God. You don't want a secret life. And you don't want secret sins. And God's pulling this out at the end of 1 Timothy. You can't escape the retribution of God. Be sure your sin will find you out. It's better to deal with it now than some men follow after. And that's really something. That's something the church needs to be aware of. You can have the holy garb. You can have the spiritual talk. Someone can have the good Christian look. But they could secretly be hiding and concealing. And that's not good. It can deceive us down here. It won't deceive God. But in order for us to not be deceived, God says, hey, I want you to be aware of that. Get to know people. All right, 1 Timothy 5, the last verse number 25. This is the good news. This is the positive. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand. And there's no doubt. Some people, they're good works. They're good Christian folks. You can see it manifest. It's evident to everybody. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing. We don't have to wait to move forward to treat them as a good man. It's evident to everybody. Well, let's wait another 3 years. Why? It's evident to everybody. So this is the positive. And he finishes out the chapter with this thought. When character is established and it is evident to a congregation, there should not be hesitancy in putting them in leadership or sending them out if the Lord's called them to start another ministry or what have you. So you can't take the negative of verse 24 and apply it to the positive of verse 25, because God says, hey, if it's evident, you got the green light from God to move forward. And that's a blessing. We should be able to rejoice in the blessings, not always be skeptical because negatives have happened. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. You know, you do have some people that are the otherwise, and maybe that's always the way it's going to be. You know, they're kind of in the middle. Are you good? Are you evil? No, you're just the otherwise. They don't know. You don't know. And sometimes we live in that gray. And that's just God telling us, hey, just be on the lookout. But in the end, a man's character will ultimately be known. Remember, the outside isn't always the real picture. When Paul introduced Timothy to the ministry, he said, you have to be on your guard. Do you have your guard up? You have to be able to discern good character from bad character. Are we ready to discern that? God says we have to be. You've got to be ready to discern good character from bad character. And when you find that somebody has an excellent character, be excited about moving them forward for the usefulness of God's glory. All right, I'll close with this thought. We have two types of harvests. We have the visible harvest. What's the visible harvest? It's what you see right now. Do you witness for the Lord? Do you try to live for the Lord? You know that peace and joy that comes into your heart when you do that? That's the visible harvest. We haven't seen thousands or hundreds of souls been saved, but we've seen some men and women saved. What's that? That's the visible harvest. That's what we see now. There is a harvest now. And God is telling us when he closes out this chapter, he promises that your work, my work, our work for him, he promises that it will not go unnoticed. Do you know some men who are greatly rewarded down here on earth and they have what you would call large ministries? What is that? That's a visible harvest. Do you know other men who labor just as long, just as strong, just as faithful, and they have very small ministries? Well, I guess God is unfaithful. No, he's not. It's just that you visibly aren't seeing the harvest. But you know what there is coming? There's coming a harvest after the visible harvest. That's the coming harvest. I want to close out with this verse. Psalms 126. Did you encourage somebody this week? Did you? Did you find a way to encourage somebody this week? If you did, that's a visible harvest. Psalms 126. That's a good work that did not go unnoticed in the Lord's eyes. And somebody was blessed by your ministry. Psalms 126. The Bible says in verse number 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Our reach is completely beyond our analysis. Have you ever thought to yourself, well, what good is this doing? Don't put your hand up and don't shake your head. Don't nod your head, positive or negative. But you, if you're like me, you have thought that. What good does this do? Why are you doing this? Psalms 126. That's why. We are bearing precious seed. And God is going to be the one who will tabulate the spiritual results. Do you know that someone who you spoke to or you gave a gospel tract or you had contact with a decade ago could be doing something for the Lord that you know nothing about? Do you know that? You can't tabulate the results, but God can. And whether you have a big visible harvest and it's open before everybody to see, or whether it's going to be coming later, God is saying He notices. And when you and I do something for Him, God promises that our work for Him will not go unnoticed. You might not get a visible reward down here, but you will have an eternal reward with God. Now, young people, let me ask you this. Were you excited when you got your first place ribbon? Did you ever get a first place ribbon? And adults, you remember getting a ribbon or a certificate? You know, you won the spelling bee. Did anybody ever win something here? Put your hand up if you've ever got a ribbon or a trophy or a certificate or... All right, we're going to have to work on... Chris, you never won nothing?
Not one
thing. Oh, man, oh, man. I guess that's the way it goes for some people. You didn't get any rewards down here. But God says, in those situations, the analysis is this. The analogy is this. In eternity, you'll receive a reward. And some people down here, they'll labor for the Lord, they'll pour their heart into the work, and it's like, man, there's nothing going on, Lord. I never got a ribbon. God says, it didn't go unnoticed, my child. It didn't go unnoticed. Now, those of you that have won a ribbon or a certificate, Milan, did you ever win a ribbon or a certificate or a medal or a trophy?
Well, I got a medal, but it was just from my basketball game, the whole team.
Excellent, excellent. So you got a medal, and you were real excited. You held on to that medal, and you put it in your backpack, so you thought, and then you got home, and you realized you left it back at the basketball gym. Oh, that happens sometimes. Or you brought that medal home, you put it up on your shelf, you had everybody come over and look at it, and oh, I don't know where it's at now. I think it's somewhere in my... The shine got dull. And that medal that you won, or that ribbon that you got awarded, it was so exciting to you the day that you got it. But now, you can't even remember the word that you were asked to spell that won you the spelling bee. For that ribbon. Don't do that when you're working for the Lord. If you're working for Him, it's not going to go unnoticed. If you get an eternal reward, you're going to lay it right back down at the Lord's feet because you're just so thankful and grateful for it. Remember, your good works, God promises, they won't go unnoticed.
Thank you for listening to the podcast ministry of Pilgrim Baptist Church. We look forward to seeing you in the next episode. In the meantime, you can sign up for our email newsletter at www.pilgrimbaptist.church.